Hello everyone, welcome. Finally, it's up. Set up finally. Give me a thumbs up if you hear me loud and clear. Thank goodness. More button pushing technical problems. Guys, I did the best I could. It's been a long time I haven't done an episode, so now I'm back to this whole I have too many stories about the adventures I went through to get this computer to work. Thumbs up, Bobby Orr, you're a stud. Thank you very much for giving me that thumbs up. Guys, let me know that the volume is loud and clear. And let's get started on this breakdown. Then we could talk about absolutely anything you guys want. Quick update. I did get the COVID, the dreaded COVID that's going around. Everybody's freaking out about. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But before I get started with that, I want to first talk about Dustin Poirier versus Conor McGregor. A fight I am very, very excited about. I should have done this breakdown weeks ago, but unfortunately, I was sick and unable to get online. So, how do I see this fight? I'm going to give you guys my pick right away. I'm picking Conor McGregor. Now, how do I see this fight? I'm not saying that Dustin has no chance to win. I'm giving it a 60-40 in McGregor's favor. And let me tell you why. And that's a very, you know, normally I give 51-49, 55-45. I don't usually go 60-40. Especially at this level, you know, two elite guys who are world champion. They both have ways to win. They're both a super seasoned, super experienced, super dangerous. They're both finishers. Why am I being so generous? Well, I think this one has a lot to do with styles. Conor McGregor is the best counterpuncher in UFC history. In my opinion, he's the best counterpuncher in the game. And there's never been a counterpuncher like him in MMA. Dustin Poirier's number one weapon is boxing. So he's kind of feeding the machine, the McGregor machine, exactly what McGregor wants. McGregor wants you to throw punches at him. And when you throw punches at him, he's going to make you pay. Now, if Poirier was a great kicker or a great clincher or a great grappler or a great wrestler or a great elbow guy, I would see him having a much stronger chance of winning. But because he's primarily a puncher, and he's a great puncher, he's a very good puncher, he's just not a puncher at the level of a McGregor. McGregor has reached, in my opinion, the highest level in MMA so far. When it comes to punching, and especially counter-punching, okay, not somebody bringing up Israel Adesanya. Yes, I didn't say he was the greatest striker ever. He's among the greatest strikers ever. I'm talking when it strictly comes down to punching. Now, Adesanya is a great puncher. He is, but he brings so much more to we saw his last fight against Costa. He kick. Then he threw a flurry. And yes, those flurries had punches in them. Yes. And then he came back with a second flurry and landed a KO. Absolutely. However, the leg kicks set up those punches. Now, McGregor also kicks. Absolutely. But that's not his prime weapon. Yes, he's a great kicker. McGregor is a great kicker. Adesanya is a great puncher. But I'm telling you that McGregor's counter-punching is higher than Adesanya's. And Adesanya's kicking, kneeing, and elbowing, and kick-punch combinations, I would say is even higher than McGregor's. But McGregor has one thing higher than Adesanya, and that's his ability to land a counter-punch. He's a phenomenal counter-puncher, and this is why I think he's going to win this fight. Because Poirier is going to go in there, and he's going to punch at him. And he's going to be feeding that counterpunch machine exactly what it wants. Now, does Dustin have a chance to take him down? Yes. Does Dustin have a chance to wear him out and take him in later rounds? Absolutely. Why? Dustin has one advantage going into this fight. One mega advantage. I would say he has the bigger heart. Dustin Poirier has an I was just watching his fight yesterday with Dan Hooker. Incredible fight. 5 rounds of just pure fighting. There was no lag time in this fight. It was just scramble after scramble, punch after punch, combination after combination. Both guys were going after it hard for 5 rounds. It was incredible. Both men in incredible shape. The pace was super high from bell to bell, from horn to horn. It was nonstop action with takedowns, submission attempts, etc. Can Poirier survive the first 2 rounds and then find a win in round 3, 4, and 5? I think so. It's possible. I just don't know. I don't think it'll go that far. I think McGregor is going to get his job done early in the first 2.5 rounds. It's going to be a very deadly. It's going to be a very tricky fight for Poirier in the first two and a half rounds. And I still think that McGregor can do well in round 4 and 5. McGregor's in great shape as well. But his elite performances, his best performances have always happened within the first two rounds. Before the second round ends, he's usually done with his work. And I have a feeling that Poirier is going to feed him what he wants, and he's not going to get past those two rounds. However, if he does, it's going to make for a very interesting fight. Okay, guys, those are my preliminary thoughts. Now, I just want to say something about the kicking and the fact that both men are southpaw. It is possible that Poirier is coming in with a really, really unique game plan. And because both men are southpaws, maybe he's going to start chopping that leg. He's going to use his left kick to attack McGregor's right leg. And maybe that brings us into a new realm of fighting. I just think that, you know, Poirier has been on the receiving end of kicks many times in his fights. Okay, we've seen so many of his fights are Hall of Fame worthy. He's had many, many incredible battles. I just don't think he has it in him. I don't think it's his style. He's going to have to go in there with what he's comfortable doing. And even if he does kick the leg, McGregor's got that left counter staring at him down the barrel. Can Poirier take down McGregor? Maybe. But he hasn't shown that in his career he has reliable takedowns. I just don't see him taking down McGregor very easily. If he does, I think McGregor will sprawl him out or get back to his feet or kind of like counter wrestle on the ground and just pop back up to his feet. Okay, McGregor's got very good wrestling defense. He's not an easy guy to take down. And Poirier doesn't have that elite wrestling. He's more of an elite boxer. This is a perfect stylistic match for Conor McGregor. I think Conor McGregor is going to have his pick of whatever counterpunch he wants to throw. Guys, that's the heart of my assessment. Anybody out there want to jump in? Let's jump in on the comments and questions here and let's find out what you guys think. I don't think Dustin's Poirier is strong enough for Conor's. Conor is the one to give Khabib the best grappling resistance, and sad that it may seem. That's what Michael Price. Okay, Michael Price is trying to say, very intelligent. He's saying, look, I don't think McGregor's grappling is less than Dustin's. Dustin didn't do as well on the ground as McGregor did. Exactly. That's such a great point. I keep saying that. People keep saying that McGregor has no grappling. Well, he did better on the ground than most guys did against Khabib. I think Iaquinta did best. And then McGregor a close second. And then, I mean, we saw what happened with Gaethje. You know, Gaethje just wasn't, you know, he just wasn't there for the grappling. Dustin did a good job as well, but not as good as McGregor. I think Dustin got finished within 3 rounds. If I remember, was it 2 or 3? He did try a guillotine attempt. I mean, he did do okay, but you can argue McGregor did better. Glover looking like... what else we got here? Okay, let's see. Guys, we're doing McGregor versus Dustin Poirier. No other topics just yet, okay? Just this fight. Seriously, this will be a first-round KO. Put your house on it. It Conor win, not this to Dustin. That's from Mark Davis. Mark Davis saying, bet your house on it. Conor McGregor is going to get it done in round one. Very possible. I will come to TriStar Coach when I'm 18. That's from David Yang. Well, hopefully it'll be open by then, my dear friend. These lockdowns are really they're just getting crazy here in Quebec. They're locking us down for every time somebody sneezes, they add a lockdown. So it's getting pretty wild. Guys, I got COVID recently. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. I want to discuss that actually with you guys. But I'm going to do that after this pre-fight analysis. What issues did Conor have with Khabib? That's from Firemaster. Well, you know, Khabib is just another level. He's not going to have the same issues he had with Khabib with Dustin. Dustin's a great fighter. He's tenacious. He's very aggressive. He's forward. He's a good athlete. He's an excellent athlete, but he's not a Khabib. Khabib is just another... I don't know if it's training in the Dagestani mountains, you know, high altitude. I don't know what it is, but his cardio is just... You see him sit on the stool between rounds and he's not even remotely breathing hard. I believe it has to do with a lifetime of training since you can walk. And it has a lot to do with probably training in the high altitude mountains. You get used to having less air, your body becomes more efficient. And that's my assessment because his cardio is just unreal. Khabib never gets tired. He doesn't slow down. He's so tenacious. His cardio is even higher than Poirier's. And Poirier has an amazing cardio. It's just another level of pressure. Do you think this fight will be the same as the last one? That's from Revaz. Revaz, no, I don't think so. You know, in the first fight between Connor and Poirier, Connor went in there. He threw a bunch of kicks, beautiful kicks, nice martial arts, taekwondo kicks, controlling the distance, being explosive, clean kicks. Poirier tried to land one or two punches. He did connect mildly, you know, nothing serious. Just a ricochet here and there. And they were both connecting, ricochet. And then all of a sudden, McGregor pushes him to the outside towards the fence and lands that left. He lands a beautiful left. He drops Dustin to the ground, finishes him off with a couple of lefts, and just wins the fight beautifully. It was in round one. It was a superb performance. Will it happen like that again? It could happen like that again, but I don't think so this time. I think the first time around, especially at that time, I think a lot of people were overlooking McGregor, thinking he's just a talker. He talks so much. He hasn't proven himself. And all of a sudden, after that fight, we're like, hey, this guy's for real. You know, because in UFC, we get so many talkers. You know, in fighting, you get so many talkers. Now, this talker, actually, he can back it up. I think this time, Poirier is going to be wiser, more calculated, more patient. And of course, both these men have grown a lot since their first fight. They have both become champion since their first fight. They've both grown immensely. Okay. Their skills have grown immensely. And I think the second meeting is going to be a bit different. However, I think the result will be the same. Cookie Cav says, yay, you're back. Well, I'm glad to be back, my friend. Thank you. I've been out sick with the COVID. More on that later. Okay, guys, I see that you're all pretty all set. I want to hear you guys. I want to take a quick vote here. If you think Connor's going to win, put a CM in the chat. If you think Dustin's going to win, put a DP and let's see your quick vote. I have a feeling that a lot of you guys are just thinking McGregor's going to take this one. All right, guys, give me that vote. What if Dustin goes for the takedown? Guys, I don't know. I don't think that Dustin has those reliable takedowns. Not reliable enough to take down McGregor on a regular basis. Maybe he gets him down once, twice. To take down McGregor, he'd have to hurt him. And that's a very difficult thing to do. I think his best chances are to take it late in the rounds. Kind of keep things busy in round one, but pick him up as the fight goes on. Be cautious, but busy in round one. He's going to have to walk a fine line in round one. And then round three, four, five, just really get after McGregor, pressure him. He's going to have to follow that Diaz game plan. I think that's his best bet. With the tools that he has, I think that is his, excuse me, his best bet. Dustin has no chance. That's from Top Bloke. Top Bloke doesn't believe Dustin has a chance. I wouldn't say that. I think that's going a little too far. Dustin, think about his fights. You know, he's very resilient. He's taken many shots and he's proven that he has a great chin. He has a great heart. He's been in real serious battles. Yes, he's been knocked out, but he's a very resilient fighter. It is very possible he takes this in later rounds. It is very, very possible. I don't want to overlook him, but I just don't think. I agree with you, but I don't think it's not a walk in the park type of fight. It might seem like that way because of their first matchup, but things have changed since then. And McGregor, he knows that. He's wiser, but so is Dustin Poirier. His fight IQ has grown. He's going to be more cautious. He knows a lot more about McGregor than he did in the first round, in the first matchup. And I suspect he will be much more careful and much more difficult to deal with. However, I still see it the way many of you guys do. I do believe that Conor McGregor will score eventually. He'll score that touch of death. He'll score that left hand and put the fight to an end. Okay, guys. Is there any more comments and questions on this fight? Do you guys want to open it up about other topics? The chat room seems a little slow today. I don't know if it's a technical difficulty or whatnot, but usually the chat room is blowing up with questions. It seems to have frozen on me. Adesanya is better at counter wrestling, unlike McGregor. That's from Toe Mahas. You know what? Adesanya's counter wrestling is very impressive, actually. When he fought Derek Brunson He rolled out of a lot of nice takedowns. He sprawled. He hip heisted. He hip heisted. I was very impressed. I thought it was excellent. I think it could be close because Dustin has way more active than the whole time. He might be able to match up with McGregor's superior technique, fight IQ, slash fight IQ. That's from Breezy. Yeah, he has been very active, and he's been in a lot of wars since then. But I just don't believe he has the clean boxing that McGregor has. McGregor brings the reach, the speed, the precision, just at a higher level. You know, it's just a more precise type punching. I mean, McGregor's been in the ring with Mayweather. And he did really well. I know people hate it when I say that, but the man did really, really well. He did really well for the first 8 rounds. He was actually doing very, very well. And I don't believe it was fake. And I don't think Mayweather was taking it easy on him. I think that's just the way boxers try to save face. McGregor is bigger, taller, stronger than Mayweather. Mayweather is more skilled, and he went in his wheelhouse. He went into Mayweather's wheelhouse, and he did very well. Yes, he got stopped. I thought it was a fair stoppage. The match was going to end on a bad note for McGregor at that point. However, McGregor showed that he can punch with the best in the world. He showed that he's an elite puncher. I disagree that he has more heart. Connor is a warrior. That's from Methodis. I agree with you. You know, Connor obviously is a warrior. Obviously, he's a very tough guy, but Dustin has been through hell. He's been in hell in fights many times. Yes, I know sometimes, I know that McGregor had a tough second fight with Diaz, but a lot of his other fights were pretty. They finished beautifully and in his favor. When you've been down in the trenches over and over again, there's a psychological edge. There's a psychological plus. There's a toughness that develops. There's a resilience that develops that I don't think you can get unless you have these seesaw battles. Dustin Poirier had a seesaw battle with Eddie Alvarez. He had a seesaw battle with Dustin Gaethje. He had a very hard fight with Khabib. I mean, he's just been in with Dan Hooker, another seesaw battle. Like, he's been in these fights over and over again where his heart is tested for a prolonged period. And being in that hell, being in those trenches over and over again for a prolonged period of time, that hardens you, man. That makes you a very hard to kill individual. To beat Dustin Poirier, you will have to lay him out. He's not going to quit because things are going bad, or, you know, he's huffing and puffing and he's really tired. He ain't going to tap for nothing. So he has that on the table, and I think he has more of it. He has more of it. I'm convinced. You know, a great for instance is if Dustin Poirier got hit with that 1-2 that Diaz hit McGregor with. So McGregor got hit by a 1-2 in the second or third round. I can't recall. I think it was the second round of their first fight. Diaz versus McGregor, the first matchup. Things are going great for McGregor, and Diaz hits him with a 1-2. And McGregor kind of panicked and started shooting, and things went wrong. That would not have fazed Poirier. Poirier would have took that 1-2 and kept fighting, and he wouldn't have struck him emotionally. But I think that was McGregor's first time really getting clocked like that, you know, because all his other fights were pristine. Like, he would get hit, but it wouldn't really rattle him. That one-two combination rattled McGregor. It rattled his legs. He might not have felt that ever before. It was in the heat of the battle. Like, and I know he's grown since then. And I know he took worse shots when he fought Mayweather. He took worse shots and he showed more heart. Of course, he's developed. He's developed his heart, his fight IQ, his experience. Yes, all that's developed, of course, but not to the level of Poirier. I have to give Poirier some advantage, and I believe he has an advantage in this regard. I think Poirier has more grit. Okay. All right, guys, I think we got over 1,000 people viewing, but not so many chat. Guys, pop some stuff in the chat. I don't know what's going on with you guys today. Maybe you guys are having button pushing technical difficulties like I am. Maybe it's because I restarted the stream 5 times and it took me a while to get it right. And maybe the other guys or all the chatters are in the other chat, the other stream that I put on by accident. Firemaster says Connor gives up. Listen, I think he He had a tough fight with Diaz, and he maybe did not react the right way. However, I wouldn't say he gives up, because he came back to fight the rematch at 170 in the same conditions that he fought Diaz in the first time. And he won. That fight, you know, when I rewatched that fight, I can't pick a winner. Tell you, it's such a close fight. It could have been Diaz. It could have been McGregor. It was such a close fight. But he came back to prove that he has a heart to be in there. When fight is not going his way. So Firemaster is trying to say, when fight's not going his way, he doesn't have his heart. If things starts to go bad, he gives up. Well, I would have to say, look at his fight against Khabib. Round one wasn't going his way. Round two wasn't going his way. And round three, he came back. Round three, he came back to show that he's still in it. So I believe McGregor does have a heart. McGregor ain't giving up. McGregor ain't giving up. He's not scared. He's going in there to fight. However, I do believe that Poirier has more grit. I think in the end, he has more grit. I have to give him that advantage. I'm giving a lot of advantages to McGregor. I got to give something to Dustin, and I would say one thing for sure is he has more grit. Coach, who do you think has a better ground game? I think McConnor is pretty underrated on the ground. That's from Johnny Armstrong. Yes, I would have to say, look, positionally, I would have to say I think Connor has a better ground game. But Dustin has a really nice guillotine that he's attempting quite a bit. He hasn't scored it yet in UFC. This would be an enormous feather in his grappling cap if he can score a guillotine on McGregor. Will McGregor ever give him a chance? I doubt it. I doubt McGregor is ever going to shoot. It could happen. I mean, he did shoot against Diaz, which was very unexpected. However, I don't think he shoots. But if he does, if so happens that maybe Poirier takes him down and McGregor's trying to get up and Poirier wraps that head, jumps on that guillotine and finishes McGregor, that could be. But I think that's the only sub he can get McGregor with. Who has the advantage in the clinch? That's from Gregory Wilson. That's a great question. Guys, I'm going to give the advantage in the clinch to Poirier. I was watching his fight with Dan Hooker. What a fight. If you haven't seen that fight, you have to watch that fight. And he landed a beautiful elbow combination with some punches. Like, he threw an elbow, then some punches. Like, amazing clinch work. Great stuff. And we saw McGregor throw some nice elbows in the Diaz 2 fight. McGregor Diaz 2. He threw some nice elbows, some nice stuff. But he got thrown with a foot sweep later. I think the clinching is more defensive. McGregor's clinching is more defensive. Poirier's clinching is more offensive. So I would give the edge to Poirier in the clinch. However, in this fight, I don't expect a lot of clinching. Hope Dustin gets revenge. That's from Whale Zudop. Well, listen, if he does win this fight, it will be a major setup for match three, the rubber match. If Dustin Poirier wins this fight, the rubber match would be huge. It would be massive. Dustin eats shots. Is his heart? You can't do that against someone that hits as hard as Conor. That's from Michael Pierce. I agree with you. That's why I'm picking Conor McGregor. You're right. When you fight a guy like McGregor who has that touch of death, that's not the night to show that you have heart. You know, that's the night to show that you have great array of technical skills and you can avoid that touch of death. It's not the time in round one and two. Round three and four might be a different story. Have you guys noticed that in round three, and there hasn't been a lot of round threes in McGregor's career, but his left hand seems very normal. I mean, in round two, he hit Khabib with a couple of lefts, and they seemed very normal. Round three, he hit Khabib with a few lefts. Excuse me. Round three, was it round? Yeah, yes, I'm sorry. It was not round two. Round three. In round two is where Khabib drops him. That's right. Khabib drops him in round two. And McGregor does land a few lefts. That's correct. No, McGregor landed a few lefts in round two and then a few more in round three, but they seem like very normal left hands. McGregor landed no lefts in round one against Khabib. I think that's the key. If you have a game plan that avoids you from getting hit with that left hand in round one, you have a fighting chance. But nobody else other than Khabib avoided the left hand in round one. Even Diaz, who had a win over him, a clean win, because you can argue the second one was a win also. He took a lot of lefts in round one, and he took a lot of lefts in round two. You know, I rewatched the rematch, Diaz versus McGregor 2. When I watched the rematch, And McGregor starts to kind of run in the octagon. He actually, no, he turns, he doesn't kind of run. He actually runs in the octagon. So he's fighting Diaz and he actually literally runs away. I think that should be a 10-8. If you did that in boxing, man, you would get a warning, a stern warning. If you do that again, they would take away a point. Like, there's no, if you did that in wrestling, you'd get disqualified. Like, if you did that in any sport, turn around and literally run. Like, not I was escaping a takedown and you're grabbing my legs and I kind of run away and put my dukes up and start engaging you. No, that's not what he did. He literally took a jog around the octagon. Rewatched that fight because I had rewatched it and I was like really shocked. I was like, you know what? That has to be an incredible amount of passivity. The referee should warn him. Like, this should not be, you should not be allowed to avoid the fight during the octagon. We're here for 5 minutes and we're not here for 8 hours. And when I rewatched it, I noticed that, and I don't know why I noticed it the first time I watched, but it didn't hit me as hard. When I rewatched that second fight, Diaz versus McGregor 2, and McGregor ran like that, I was like, no, that's a 10-8 round. I don't care. That's equal to a knockdown. Like, you cannot engage your opponent. You're literally running. That's a 10-8 round. So when I rewatched it, I was giving it to Diaz. And then I watch it again. I'm like, it's just too close to call. In my opinion, that shows that there is a fragility there somehow, some way. Okay, so like, yes, he's super strong with his, you know, his counter punching ability, his neurological speed, his eyes. I never seen a guy like Isaac McGregor. He walks up to you like this, and he's just like walking forward. He's just coming at you, and he's hoping you throw a punch, because if you throw a punch, guess what? You're gonna miss, and he's gonna counter you. That's his whole, like, he has so much faith in his counter punching ability. You see his fight against Khabib? He walks up to Khabib like this. He's marching at Khabib. He even started the fight with his hands down, like, just come at me. Why? He believes in his heart of hearts that if Khabib throws a punch, he's going to counter it. He's going to put him flat on his back. What does Khabib do? Khabib circles. He doesn't actually engage him. Khabib's like, hey, this guy's really, really coming at me. Khabib circles, 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 circles. Like, Khabib's on the go. Khabib was not walking forward, marching forward like he did with in so many of his fights. I'm forgetting now the name, but Khabib then shoots that low single. Why did he shoot that low single? There was so much pressure from McGregor. And why can McGregor put on that pressure? His eyes, man, he has the best eyes. He has incredible eyes that he trusts. And when you have that much neurological firepower, that comes at a cost. It comes at a cost, usually. He needs to rest. So maybe in the later rounds, Poirier starts, you know, putting it to McGregor. However, we've seen McGregor now mature as a fighter, and he seems to have solidified himself in the later rounds. He did do a very good job comparatively in the Khabib fight. Comparatively, if you compare the McGregor fight to all the other 155ers who fought Khabib in the last few years, okay, because Khabib has matured and now he's reached a level where it seems like he's head and shoulders above all competition. The guy who did the best was Iaquinta. Al Iaquinta did the best. He survived all the rounds. Nobody else can do that. Nobody else came close. And now Khabib seems to have grown since then. And look what he did with the Gaethje fight. Round one was a little bit tight. He steals round one. Khabib steals round one with no argument with a takedown, even though two judges gave it to Gaethje. Go explain that one. I have no idea how to explain this. Round one in the Gaethje Khabib fight was 100% a Khabib round. My mind is still blown. The two judges gave it to Gaethje. And then he comes back and he finishes the fight in the second round. So there was no argument there. The judges never got to the scorecards. But my mind is still blown that they can give it to Gaethje. Give round one to Gaethje. I think Conor is going to be a brand new version of himself. Conor is on the road to redemption. That's from Michael. Michael could very well be. You know, we saw his last fight with Cowboy. It was a very impressive fight. Round one, he came in and threw the biggest left hand he's ever thrown in his career. Thank God it missed for Cowboy, because that left hand had some serious heat. And he fought beautifully. And look, he got right on it, man. He didn't take any break whatsoever. He started hitting with the shoulder. His speed looked better than ever. His shot selection was excellent. I think that's what we're going to see. We're going to see a fresh, young, powerful, explosive McGregor in round one. Okay, I got a super chat here. Let's see what it says. Hi again, sir. I finally joined a UFC fighter gym. I found I'm more impervious to leg locks than I thought. I'm a white belt with nuclear weapons. Well, Kookie Cavs, welcome to the MMA world. I hope you enjoy it. Right now, we are talking about Poirier versus McGregor, and I want to take your thoughts and comments on that fight. Questions and comments. Dustin gets damaged every fight as well. That's from T. Mill. T. Mill, you're so right. He's not the hardest guy to hit. He's a great fighter, but he all his wins, you know, they're blood and guts win. They're blood and guts wins. There's a lot of blood and guts. That's not the right way to fight McGregor. I'm sorry to say, there's just physics are involved. You know, like, I think he could survive the first few rounds, but it's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a tough one, man. It's going to be a tough one to watch because you got this precise sniper in McGregor versus a guy with so much heart. Maybe it's his heart could get him in a lot of trouble. Okay, guys, here we go. All right, I don't know what this is. Connor cheated. Connor doesn't cheat. I don't think Connor cheated. Well, some people are complaining about... some people were complaining that McGregor hit him behind the head. I don't know if that was intentional. I don't think it was. It's very hard to say, but that's the referee's call. It's tough to call because the way he fell and he was already kind of punching and he did hit Dustin behind the head. That is true. And sometimes a referee will stop that fight. Sometimes if you get a different referee, you'll stop the fight, give the fighter 5 minutes, up to 5 minutes to recover. How are you doing? And you want to continue, etc. You could have got a very different referee because there was clearly a shot in the back of the head. However, he went down pretty cleanly from a left hand. Okay, here we go. Dustin is not an elite boxer. He's an elite brawler. Connor is elite boxing. That's from MMA Royale. I wouldn't say Dustin is a brawler. No, he's a sophisticated puncher. He's got good choppy short shots. His variety is very good. His volume is very good. He's suffered in the past against low kickers. And he's found a way out every time using his boxing. Like, he's a good boxer. But there are levels to boxing and there are styles to boxing. I agree with you there. Being a puncher, you know, in boxing, they won't say he's a brawler. They'll say he's a puncher. It's not necessarily bad. There's been world champions that are considered punchers or brawlers, as you say. There have been legitimate boxing world champions. Okay, he's an educated puncher. He's not just punching blind. He's not just closing his eyes and throwing circular punches like a madman. No, that's not what he's doing. However, I agree with you that there's a range and speed and sophistication to McGregor's boxing that will be very difficult for Poirier to overcome. Coach, how much of a difference will it make for Poirier that he was way more active the whole time? That's from Breezy. At the level they're at, I don't think it makes much difference because McGregor's been fighting for so many years. Poirier's been fighting for so many years. They've been there. They've been in the crunch, you know, of an elite fight. I don't think it makes that much of a difference. Coach, don't forget the reaction to Jordan Peterson and Sam Harris. That's from Prajal. Prajal, I have not forgot. I will do it in the new year. I promised you guys that I would do this video. It will be a reaction video to Sam Harris versus Jordan Peterson. Look for that in the coming month or two. Connor also reversed Nate Diaz from the bottom. That's from Top Bloke. That is true. You know, everybody said Connor's jiu-jitsu is not good, but then he gets Diaz on top of him and he sweeps him. He sweeps him beautifully. Not with some kind of weird off balance sweep. No, he swept him beautifully. He went to Ashigarami. He grabbed the ankles. He swept him. It was a clean sweep. He got on top of Diaz. He stabilized Diaz. The man can move. The man can grapple. Okay. One guy I'm going to have to put in timeout. He's just blowing up the chat room. All right, my friend, you earned yourself a timeout. Personally, I don't want to see Dustin fight Connor. I like him as a person. That's from Bang. Bang, I agree with you in a certain way. You know, his first loss was pretty bad. We've seen Dustin, you know, he's kind of like the Rocky of UFC. He's had some beautiful wins. He's a very inspirational guy. However, now he's meeting up with McGregor. I don't think he could. I don't think he can avoid this fight. I think this is something he has to do for his career. If he can get a win over Conor, it would cement him as a legend in the sport. It's a big opportunity for him. I think he sees it more that way than losing to somebody twice in a bad fashion. You got to look at the positives. And when you're at this level, you know, when you're in the top five fighters, you have to take these fights. There's just no, there's no way around them. You got to do it. Do you think if Dustin comes in with a kick heavy game plan, that the plan could that he can put last Conor? That, you know, you're saying, this is from Jose Reyes, is asking, look, if he comes in with a kicking game plan, could he beat Conor? I don't think so. I don't think that. I think that a kicker could win against Conor. However, Dustin is not a kicker. You'd be trying to force him into a style that's not his. You'd need a lot of preparation before you could turn Dustin into a kicker. Now, Gaethje's a kicker. It would have been interesting to see Gaethje try to kick the legs out from under McGregor. That'd be an interesting matchup. McGregor's boxing versus Gaethje's boxing and kicks. You know, Gaethje brings that interesting element of kicking to the table. And, you know, we saw him kick Khabib's legs successfully, but then he got countered with a double leg. In this case, I think if Poirier tries to kick Conor, he's just going to get lit up. But again, I could be proven wrong, and that would not be uninteresting to me. McGregor wins by scripted knockout, as always. That's from Alex Plank. Alex Plank believes that Conor McGregor's fights are fake. Well, I can tell you, my friend, I've been on the Octagon side for many years for countless amount of fights. And I could tell you that those punches being thrown in there are 100% real, no script whatsoever. No script whatsoever. Those are real, real punches. Those are real athletes putting it all on the line for real. This is 100% real fighting. All right, guys, let's move on to the next topic. If you guys are done with this, I'm not getting many comments and questions. I think everybody is really on. I think everybody thinks Conor's just going to walk in here and win this fight. And that's the thing, you know, when you have a fight, like when you see two fighters and you're like, wow, you look in the red corner, you're like, that guy's a killer. You look in the blue corner, you're like, that guy's a killer. Who's going to win? I don't know. Like, these guys are both so good. That's the fight we're all excited to watch. Whenever we're like, hey, look at the red corner, really good fighter. Look at that blue corner, really good fighter. Who's going to win? Oh, red corner. 99% of us are saying red corner. That fight is a little bit less exciting to watch. Why? Because we kind of feel like we've seen this fight in our heads. However, when you're like, I don't know what's going to happen, both these fighters can win. It's like a 51-49 type fight. It's a 51% chance for one guy and 40. It's like so intriguing. And that's usually the fights I cover. I usually cover those kind of fights. I cover fights that are going to be so hard to predict. And the reason for that is because that's the fights that are most intriguing to us all. I think this fight, I would say that the majority of us think Conor is going to win. And I think with good reason. Do you think that Charles Oliveira has a chance to win the title? That's from Matthew Lozo. Yeah, I should make some comments on his last fight. Charles Oliveira had a brilliant fight against Tony Ferguson. Listen, when I was watching that fight, I was wondering, where is the Tony Ferguson, the original? Not to take anything away from Charles. Charles beat him standing, on the ground, wrestling. He dominated him. He almost finished him with an armbar. He out-grappled him. He put him in a triangle. Like, he just did. He was a full clinic with the takedowns and everything. But where's that Tony that scrambles and jumps up to his feet and he throws his wild elbows and spinning attacks? It just wasn't there. Is Tony's formula getting old? Are fighters figuring him out? I don't know. But here's one thing I could tell you. Every time Tony was getting taken down, when he was on the bottom, he was trying a maneuver from the side control bottom. He was trying to choke Charles Oliveira from the side control bottom. And the way he was doing it, it's called a fly trap. It was the wrong leg. He was grabbing the wrong leg. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a move he just learned like a couple of weeks before the fight. And he's like, hey, you know what? This could really work. And then he got in the battle and he grabbed his wrong leg and he put the triangle on the wrong side. And it was completely ineffective. The choke he was trying to do from bottom side control, It's a very tricky choke. You have to have a very good amount of flexibility. You have to be very familiar with this choke. It's not an easy thing to pull off. You got to have months and months of preparation and training. It looked like he kind of like switched game plans at the last minute, and that it was the wrong decision. Like, he was not familiar with the nuances of that choke, and he was trying it. And I think that was a detriment, because he had his mind fixed on doing the fly trap submission, where he should have been had his mind fixed on scrambling, getting back up to his feet, or rolling out of the takedowns in the beginning, you know, like just creating chaos from underneath, which is usually his game plan. So was it a faulty technique that he learned? Did he try to execute? Did he learn poorly? That he just misunderstood and thought, was under the illusion that the way he does it will work? Because I could tell you, he was grabbing the wrong leg and putting it on just completely wrong. I was very surprised how dominant Charles was compared to Ferguson, because I think Ferguson can definitely do a lot better than he did. I trust Ferguson is an elite fighter. I think he's a great striker, great grappling, great like he's so offensive, such a great barrage of techniques. We've seen him have elite performances. This one was very surprising to me. I wouldn't have believed, if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I wouldn't have believed that Tony's offense was so hit and miss. You know, it just really missed so many times, completely missed. It wasn't in a gray area, just completely missed. So I think he's going to go back. I think he's a very smart guy. I think he's going to regroup and come back stronger than ever. However, that was a very surprising. I was very surprised by the outcome. Not only by the outcome, but by every round, like how it was so one-sided. Okay, guys, here we go. My heart says Dustin, my mind says Connor. That's from Gio. I think a lot of people probably feel that way. You know, Dustin has inspired many with his performances. You know, he's shown so much heart and grit. But at the end of the day, when you calculate things, you think, hey, McGregor's speed, power, timing, shot selection, distance control, experience, it's just too much. Connor just too good at striking. The Felder-Dustin fight just shows that Dustin is not smart enough for Connor, and that's it. That's from 2Pid Kid. 2Pid Kid thinks that there's not going to be a smart game plan coming in from Poirier, which I don't believe, because look, Poirier comes from American Top Team. They are very well known for coming up with good game plans and being intelligent in there. Dustin is very seasoned. I think he's a very intelligent guy. He's going to figure out a way. He knows about the left. He knows the dangerous guys. Everything you think you know about McGregor, he already felt it. He already been there with him. He's been watching the division develop for years. Like, he's a smart guy. He's fully aware of it. It's just easy to sit back here and say, look, just avoid the left hand for a few rounds. It's very easy to say, but when you get in there, it's a whole different animal. He has to actually get in there and do it, which is a whole different world. Okay, so we're going to have to see what he does. Is Dustin going to come straight at McGregor? Because you know McGregor is going to come straight at Dustin. I don't like making predictions, but I can tell you one thing. When they're going to say fight, McGregor is going to walk right up to Dustin, get right in his face. He might throw a few kicks. He might throw a few punches, but he's going to be going forward on Dustin. Is Dustin smart enough to circle, pick and poke, stick and move? Or is Dustin going to go in there, in the fire with him? If he does, I don't think it's going to last long. He's going to have to be a little bit patient and take things in later rounds, which is not easy to do. Dustin did better on the feet against Khabib than Connor. That's from ZF. Well, there wasn't a lot of stand-up in the Dustin-Khabib fight. There was some, and there was a point where Poirier connected and it had Khabib on the back foot kind of stumbling a little bit, backpedaling, and the crowd got excited. And then there was another takedown, and it was just all the Khabib show all over again. Khabib show, Khabib show, Khabib show. But there was a flash of boxing from Poirier that was really exciting. Would that say he did better? You're putting me in a tough spot, because McGregor actually won a round. Dustin didn't win a round. McGregor won a round, and the round that he won in round three, the one that the judges gave him, it was all stand-up. There was some clinching on the fence, no takedowns. And the judges gave it to McGregor. So McGregor had outstruck him. So hard to say. You know, is one little sequence the value of a whole round? No, I wouldn't say it is. Okay, here we go. Okay, guys, let's open it up. I'm going to talk to you guys. I got the COVID recently. Okay, I think we're done with the fight. I think it's going to be an exciting fight. We're all going to tune in, even though I think we all agree on who's going to win. Hopefully, we get an exciting fight, and maybe Dustin Poirier proves everybody wrong. I'm curious to see anybody who knows the odds of this fight. Please type it into the chat room. I would love to know the odds, McGregor versus Poirier. I'm pretty sure it's going to be quite lopsided. Okay, guys, recently I had the COVID about 3.5 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. And I was sick for a good 4 days. 4 days I had the chills, aches and pains. My body was aching, headache, back pains galore. Really just feeling crummy, low energy. And after 4 days, I started feeling much better. And what can I say? It was, for me, COVID was like a mild flu. I've had the flu before and it's way worse. Now, I know a lot of people out there. I know many people who've had COVID, and some of them, a small amount, were really hurting. Like, it was really, really bad for them. They were out for a while, and it was like, I know one person who got hospitalized because of COVID. So I'm not, obviously not everybody's having the same experiences. However, if you look statistically, I believe it's 80% of people have mild symptoms. So fortunately for me, I was in the mild group. I had about, I would say it was a mild flu. However, 20% of the population, they get it really bad. So I'm not trying to make light of this, okay? But for me, it wasn't that bad. It was not that bad. What happened to me after? Okay, so I was sick. Look, I wasn't sick for 4 days. I was sick for 2 weeks. But it was 4 days of... The 4 days was really bad. After that, things started getting better. My headaches started fading and the chills went away slowly, and the aches and pains, the muscular pains went away slowly. And then I started training again. When I started training again, that's when I felt the lungs. I'm telling you, I trained today. I went for a run today. My lungs are still burning. My lungs, now it's been 4 weeks. My lungs are still not the same. So I know it's very different for everybody, but for me, you know, I have one friend of mine who got sick. Shout out to my friend, George. He was telling me when he goes up the stairs. So he gets up from his kitchen, goes up the stairs to his bedroom. He felt it in his lungs and he wasn't feeling well. And I was like, really? Oh, I couldn't believe it. My lungs were feeling great. Like when I was sick, I was just home in bed trying to recover. Then when I started getting better, I hadn't felt anything. My breathing felt normal. Breathing felt normal all the time. Even when I had the chills, headache, even at the worst part, I never felt anything in my lungs. It was when I was recovering. So maybe at day 10, I went out for a run and I could tell you my cardio was half, less than half, less than half. I was running and literally there was a fire in my chest. Like, I couldn't believe it. I was the first time I ever felt my lungs in distress other than when I exert myself in fit, you know, training. But I went for a regular run that I do all the time. I do a 2K run, like a high speed. I run it hard, like I run it fast. And I couldn't even do half the speed I normally do. I couldn't do half the time. My lungs were burning. So after that, I got at home. I rested. I recovered. What happened? I started to get sick again. So I had COVID. I got sick. I rested. Then I was feeling better. Okay, I'm going to start training again, try to shake it off. I got sick again. And I can tell you that I still feel it to today. And it's been about a month. Today, I trained again. Home workouts. Trying to work out. I still feel it in my lungs. I'm still not 100%, which is, so in my opinion, for me, my experience, it was milder than a flu, but it's lasting a lot longer. Like I'm still not, these lungs are still not normal. It's incredible. So I unfortunately got sick, but I'm in a way I'm happy because I'm finally over. Like, you know, here in Quebec, I don't know about you guys or where you are in the world, but here in Quebec, it's spreading like wildfire. Everybody's getting it. They finally shut down the schools today. They're supposed to be giving an announcement today. I think we're going to be having curfews and all that here. They're going to shut down every business on Saturday. Like they're escalating the lockdowns in Quebec. They're escalating. They're not even close to, I don't think this thing has peaked. They're ringing the alarm here where I am. And it's getting pretty dark, People are really getting upset. People are unhappy with all this, you know, confinement. People are really upset. I even saw a petition of scientists online saying that they want everybody who's under 50 with no pre-existing conditions to go out back into the workforce, go back to normal life. It's going to spread. We need herd immunity. And then, of course, there's other groups of people saying, no, you got to lock them in. You got to protect yourselves. And here in Quebec, it's just madness. It's just complete madness. Now they're escalating the lockdown, which is driving people up the wall. It's really, really sad. Really, really, man, it's the 1 year, the 1 year anniversary of the 2 week lockdown. Remember in Quebec, we were supposed to have a 2 week lockdown. The 1 year anniversary is coming up. And we're still locked in. It's insanity. Okay, guys, I have a super chat here. Oh, how do I click these things? There it is. Can you confirm my theory that Dustin Poirier is still the exact same fighter he was when he fought the first time? The Hooker fight showed all I need to see. He is still throwing loopy punches. That's from Gibran Machiel. Machiel, I couldn't say that he's the same fighter. He has grown leaps and bounds. But look, what's wrong with loopy punches? There have been many great boxers who become world champion with loopy style punches. It's a style of fighting. It's not necessarily wrong. He doesn't have the reach McGregor has. So how is he going to punch McGregor straight? If they both throw a straight punch and my punch is longer than yours, I'm going to win. When Matt Serra knocked down George St. Pierre, he did it with a loopy punch. When Khabib dropped McGregor, was it a straight punch or a loopy punch? It was a loopy one. Loopy punches work, guys. Okay, it depends on your style and the situation you're in. Did Fedor ever throw any straight punches? If you saw Fedor, if I showed you fights of Fedor and you'd be like, oh, this guy doesn't know anything, he's not any good. Well, guess what? Because you know what? When we first saw Fedor fighting early on in his career, a lot of people were saying, oh, he's not good. He went all the way, my friend, and he became arguably the greatest pound-for-pound fighter in the history of MMA. Arguably. He's the greatest heavyweight of all time. That is without question. I'm getting a few messages about this COVID lockdowns. Listen, Fedor, I don't think he really ever threw a straight punch in his entire career. He's never thrown a straight punch in his entire career. He's for certain the greatest heavyweight of all time. I know his career didn't end as beautifully and as gracefully as we'd all would have liked, but nobody's ever won so many heavyweight fights in a row as he has and in the fashion he has. He is, in my mind, there's no doubt he's the greatest heavyweight of all time. Prime Fedor beats any heavyweight. Any heavyweight. What if Dustin is very careful on the feet and just jabs the first two rounds? Or even grapple a little bit with McGregor? Would that be enough to gas him? That's from Zaki. No, I don't believe that's enough. He's going to get lit up. His jab is going to get countered. McGregor doesn't need you to throw a punch at him. He'll attack you. He'll jump on you, okay? I'm just saying his counter-punching is very impressive. It doesn't mean he's not going to throw first, okay? McGregor will throw first. We saw in his last fight against Cowboy, he went in through that powerful left, and that was a simple direct attack, as they say. He just threw it. I'm not saying because he's a counter-puncher, that's all he does. No. If Dustin just picks and pokes and tries to stick and move, he's going to get killed. Like, McGregor's not going to wait for... He's not going to be deterred by that. Will GSP come back for Askren? That's from Mystic Cam. Gam. No, I don't believe that's in the cards right now. I'm telling you, this time we're going to go five rounds. That's from Peter NN. Peter NN. Peter, if it goes five rounds, I'll be very surprised. But you can come back and gloat. You can come back on this channel and tell me, Peter, coach, I told you so. Peter NN, I will remember. I think Dustin can take a punch better at 155. That's from ZF. You know, that is a very good point, ZF. We did not bring that up. The last time McGregor and Poirier fought, it was at 145. Very different fight. I've seen Poirier, because I know I've had fighters that are cutting at the same time as Poirier. Poirier was hurting at 145, and he was killing himself to make 145. But I still don't think that made the difference. I still don't think. It was too early in the fight anyway, and maybe you're right, but I don't think it is. We'll have to wait and see on fight night. Don't miss Super Chat. Okay, I got to go back and check the Super Chat here. Okay, hi, sir. Finally joining the UFC. Okay, no, I did this one. Okay, I got your Super Chat. All right, guys. Let me get your last final comments and questions. We are 53 minutes in. Do you think Dustin was too emotional the first fight? That's from DKT. I don't think it was a question of emotion. He just didn't know how to deal with McGregor's reach, speed, and precision. It's a very difficult thing to deal with. It was just a question that McGregor is just too much of a puncher. I see this fight like Diaz versus McGregor too. That's from Mojas. I don't see it at all like that. I don't see it at all like that. I think it's going to be a classic McGregor fight. Do you think that Dustin's chin didn't recover from the Hooker fight? Well, you know what? Sometimes you're in a battle like that one too many times. I've seen it, guys. I've seen guys fight has a war. Fight has a war. Fight has a war. And shows incredible heart. And then all of a sudden he's getting tipped, you know, just getting touched on the chin. He's falling. And then we get him ready. You know, they get him ready for another fight. He goes in there and it's not even a war and he gets hit and he's down. And he's lost his chin. And none of us can explain it. Some coaches say it's totally mental. Some coaches say, oh, he lost his chin and there's nothing he could do about it. Some people say it's just like there's so many theories. Nobody really knows. And in my opinion, I think that every human has an expiration date. And eventually your chin is just, it's out. That's why I always tell guys, don't lose your chin in the gym. Spar, be technical, you know, be intense in the gym, but don't injure each other, especially your chin. Don't get into gym brawls. I've seen guys, in my opinion, lose their chin in the gym. You know, the guy's a gym hero. He's having battles in the gym. It's like this war in the gym. He broke his jaw. He broke his orbital. He got knocked out 4 or 5 times. He's still showing heart. And this is nonsense. This is the worst kind of training. In my opinion, it's the worst. Because when you have a gym like that, there's only ever one or two good guys in there because they're the ones who survive that meat grinder. You know, if you have 100 students, yeah, put them, pile them all up, let them all kill each other, and the last two guys standing, those are the best two guys. Send them those guys to fight pro. That's not intelligent training. That's not a good trainer. A good trainer, you give him 100 fighters, and he gives you 80 great fighters. A social trainer, or a mediocre trainer, you give him 100 fighters, he gives you two really good fighters. Whereas as a good coach, you give him 100 fighters, he'll give you 80 very good fighters. He knows what to do with them. He knows how to develop them, and he develops them differently, and he knows how to nurture them and how to get them to that level where they can defend themselves against anybody. And he has different approaches for different needs, and he understands. He thinks at a higher in a higher level. Okay, but some coaches just get in there. Hey, you fight that guy, and you fight that guy, and the guy who's winning, they give him attention, and that guy kind of figures it out over time. And unfortunately, you see a lot of programs like that. Okay, guys. This fight is now officially for the belt. That's from Jaja Yassin. It could be. Would make sense. I'm not sure. Is it for a title fight? I wonder why they didn't make it for a title fight right away. Because it would make sense. They were both former world champions. Khabib is retired. There's nobody else fighting for a title. Why not make this fight a title fight? What else we got here? Why do some athletes end up getting a black belt in BJJ and never end up using it in fights? Dustin has a black belt since 2017 and I can barely remember him pushing for a takedown. That's from Ashul Ray. Well, Ashul, check out his fight against Hooker, where he takes Hooker down a few times. Hooker takes him down. There was definitely a lot of grappling. The thing is with jiu-jitsu, if you don't know it, you get killed. Like if you get one takedown or you get taken down or anything, you get into the realm of jiu-jitsu, the guy ties you up, he wraps you up, he entangles you, and you don't know how to get out. All these guys know how to grapple. So it kind of negates itself. And then the fight is always started back on the feet, so it's just more energy efficient to just kind of strike. Super chat coach. Guys, I believe I have seen all the super chats. Yes, I have seen all the super chat. Okay. Round two TKO, in my opinion. That's from CJ Fam. Very possible. We all know that McGregor can get it done in the first two rounds. It's very often that he's done it, and it's very impressive. And stylistically, I think it's very reasonable to say that. Does anybody out there give it to Poirier? Can anybody put up Poirier's name? DP. Ashul Ray believes in DP. Should I change my vote to DP? Nah, I gotta stick with McGregor on this one. I gotta be honest, okay? But listen, it's not an easy fight, okay? And Poirier is a very proven fighter. He's a very proven fighter. Let's not underestimate him. He's a very dangerous man. Even though everybody out there is, from what I'm seeing now, is thinking Conor McGregor. What are the odds? I want to know what the odds makers think. Just out of curiosity, let me look that up right now. Let's see what the odds are. Oh, it's not as bad as I thought. McGregor is minus 276. I thought he'd be minus 400. I thought he'd be minus more, double that, almost double. Let's see here. Minus 250. Very surprising. Very surprising, guys. I thought it would be higher. Because I'm assuming now that a lot of people are going to bet the house on McGregor. I'm very surprised. Okay, we got a few people who believe in Dustin Poirier. 45 Rui, Mika Van. All right. Salam alaikum from Morocco. Reda Mahmoudi. I should be in Morocco tomorrow, my dear friends. So I hope to see you all there. Hopefully landing in Morocco tomorrow. It'll be my first trip to Morocco. Looking forward to it. All right. Okay, very few people are voting for Dustin Poirier, unfortunately. I think a lot of people here are underestimating him. I don't want to make it sound like it's going to be an easy fight for McGregor. This is a tough fight. He has a very serious opponent in front of him, but I think we've seen McGregor do it one too many times. His striking is just too good, too strong, too clean, too powerful, too slick, too much range, too much speed. He's too reliable. He's done it over and over again. He's just very reliable. Okay, guys, we are 1 hour in. I'm going to answer one or two more questions and comments, and then we're going to wrap this up. All right. Who wants to end this show? Give me a good comment or question here, and let's wrap this up. Manny Pacquiao will happen after this fight with Dustin. That's from Conor McGregor versus Manny. AJ says Conor McGregor versus Manny Pacquiao will happen after this fight. That would be very interesting. I would love to see that fight. Pacquiao is a very different style than Mayweather. He gets hit more often, but he's also much more offensive. It will be a very interesting fight. Two southpaws going at it. McGregor stepping back into boxing. I would definitely tune in for that. However, it's stepping into Manny Pacquiao's world. And that would be very dangerous, because the thing is with Pac-Man, he's not like Mayweather. He's not as laid back. He's very aggressive, very forward. But to that, saying that, I mean, McGregor is much bigger, much stronger, could end up hurting Pac-Man also. Pac-Man's not in his prime right now. This would probably be a big money fight for both of them. Could very well happen. I know it's hard to believe, but for me, it's not hard to believe. It'd be a huge money fight. Everybody's going to complain about this fight. Then they're all going to end up paying and watching it. I hate when that happens. Everybody starts saying, oh, we don't, what is this matchup? It's ridiculous. Then on Fight Night, people are rushing to watch it. It's a fight people want to see. And I think it's a fight everybody's going to tune in for. And this one will be, if you were disappointed in a Mayweather fight, because I know a lot of people were not happy with that fight, this one won't disappoint. This one will be exciting from bell to bell because both fighters are so offensive. Okay, guys, let's wrap this up. Last one. What is the last comment or question you guys are going to give me here? We all have the COVID blues. Everybody's picking Connor on this one. I don't know what's going on. Is the moderator? I don't know what the moderator is doing. Okay, sorry, Dustin is not at level of Connor, is not at level of Khabib. Connor will always be number two. Oh, so you're saying that Dustin's below Connor, but Connor's below Khabib, and that's the way it's going to be. It could be, you know, I mean, you know, sometimes when you win the title after the champ retires, they call you the paper champ. But I always hated that term because there's nothing you can do about it, and champions grow. So, yeah, maybe the previous champ could beat me, but then when he retired, I grew, and I grew into the space that he was in at. So, for instance, Frank Shamrock, when he beat Tito Ortiz, he retired. Then Tito Ortiz won the title. This is years ago, okay? Everybody's calling Tito the paper champ, but then Tito went on to clean out the division, and nobody was saying that anymore. So, what you're saying is, oh, Conor will always be second to Khabib. Not if he cleans out the division, sticks around, does incredible things similar to what Khabib did, and then he can kind of get that stigma off his back. But I wouldn't worry too much about that, you know, because that's just something people are going to say no matter what. You have no control over that. All he's got to do is got to go in there and fight Poirier. If he wins, he becomes a world champion again. That will make him a 3-time world champion, which would be amazing. Okay, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode as I did. Please like, share, and comment. Special thank you to TimTam.Tech, JujiClub.com, all the sponsors of this channel. Thank you very much, and I will see you all in this next episode. Thank you.